So the title of my talk today is That Really You? And I'm talking about how we identify ourselves, and what we identify with is the thing that creates how we show up in the world and what we bring to life. And so when you look in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see a man or a woman? Or do you see someone who is young or middle-aged or an old person? Or do you see a teacher or a nurse or a social worker or a retired person or whatever your job happens to be? Do you see a husband or a wife or a widow or widower? While all of those things are aspects of our human self, none of those are who we really are. And so we are bombarded by the world and by the media telling us that we are just these different aspects of ourselves. And so we are bombarded by messages of the world that says you are your beliefs. And out of that, we buy into that and we come to identify with that. And then we say things like, I am a Republican, or I am Democrat. Or we say, I am a religious scientist, or I am Catholic, or Protestant, or a Jew. It becomes the identity. But those are just beliefs. Those are just ideals. Those aren't who you are at the core of your being. We get bombarded by the media with messages that say we are our bodies. And so if you happen to be born in the right size or shape of body, or if you happen to have had the right nips and tucks, then everything is wonderful and you feel good about yourself because you've identified so much with that body. We identify with our bodies so much that when our bodies become infected with, say, a cold, we say, I am sick. Or if we have worked our bodies very hard during the day or exercised them, wait, God's calling. That's okay. So, or if we've exercised our bodies really hard during the day, we say, I am tired. We say that I am my body. We identify with our feelings and we say things like, I am happy, or I am sad, or I am depressed, or I am lonely, or I am angry. I, like that, feelings are who we are. But who is it? Those feelings are really momentary, and they're always in flux, and they're always changing. So who is it that we really are behind those feelings, behind those beliefs and those ideals and those thoughts and that body? Who is it that is behind all of those changing things that are constantly changing in the world? Who or what of you is eternal? Who or what of you is that constant with you, as you, throughout your entire life and all of the circumstances of your life? That part of you is your essential nature. That part of you is your spiritual self. That part of you is your spirit that is eternal, the eternal you. And then, so because we are spiritual beings, we have a need to experience our spirit. We have a need to experience our essential nature and the very essence of who we are. Like that oak tree has a need to send roots down deep into the ground and has a need to reach its branches out far and a need to drink in that sunlight, we have a need to experience our essential nature, to experience our spirit. We have a need to feel the divine within our lives and within ourselves. That's one of the reasons that we come here on Sundays, to feel that presence, to wake back up by opening ourselves to it, because sometimes when we're out there in the world, we close ourselves off just because we're so bombarded with things and people and activities that we kind of shut down a little bit. So that's one of the reasons we come here, so that we can open back up and move back into our heart space and open back up to our spirit and feel that sense of coming home to ourselves that we have here. we touch the divinity within ourselves. And so we get reminded of that through all the different things that go on here. We get reminded of that through reading our vision statement that, oh yes, we are here to express that love and that peace. And we're able to do that as we recognize that it already lives within us. And we hear it through the evocation when Barbara reminds us that spirit is active and present in this room and flowing through everything that happens here. We get reminded through Tina's song, oh yes, when I close my eyes, I can see you. When I turn within and get quiet and let go of my chattering mind, I find that essence again inside of me. But it takes slowing down. It takes turning inward. It takes moving out of the hustle and bustle of our lives. And it takes intention and looking through spiritual eyes to see that which is invisible. And so what happens is when we identify with our bodies and our emotions and our feelings and the circumstances of our lives, when we identify with our insecurities and our foibles and the mistakes we make in our lives, does anybody do that in here? When we identify with those things, we forget that we are spirit incarnate. We forget that that infinite one lives within us. We forget that we are the divine clothed in human form here on planet Earth, giving expression to that one infinite presence. And so Ernest Holmes in the Science of Mind textbook gives us a tool to help us remember. He says, as we meditate daily upon the universe of the all good, the infinite indwelling spirit, which we call God, the Father, incarnate in man, trying to sense and feel this indwelling good as the active principle of our lives. This is the angel of God's presence. This is man of the heart. This is why they taught that there are always two, for there is what we seem to be and what we really are. So we meditate daily upon that universal good, upon that presence that fills our lives and that lives within us as the core essence of who we are, what we have come here, that spark of the divine within us that when we incarnated here. And then as we wake up to that, it's like a garden hose, that the water flows through that garden hose to water a thirsty garden and to allow things to bloom and to thrive. We become a conduit like that for that presence of divinity to flow into this world as love and kindness and compassion and an open heart and brotherhood and all of those attributes of spirit that express through us. We are here to give way to and to be a conduit for love and for peace and for truth and for wholeness. And so Carolyn Mace, in her book, Entering the Castle, which is the book we're using in class right now, she says, your body and your life are here in service to your soul. We are here for a soul purpose. That's what we've come here for, soul purpose. We've come here to express our spirit and to make that one presence real here on earth through our actions, through our words, through our activities, our deeds, through our lives. We are here to bring the good of God into the world through our hands and feet. And so I read a story this week that I thought I would share with you. It says, if you ever go to Bones Hook Park and ask someone who Tremaine Brown is, not only will they say that he's one of the owners of Sheely's Barbecue and Soul Food Restaurant, but they will say he's the guy who's always cooking food and giving it to all the kids that are in the park that day. I had the pleasure of meeting Tremaine, and just by talking to him, I can tell he has a huge heart for his community. Tremaine is a single dad and finds time to run his restaurant and cook at Bones Hook Park at least 2 or 3 days a week for all the kids that are out there. Brown said that he make that he makes the extra time to cook for the kids in the park because sometimes that's the only meal they're getting. He buys all the meat with his own money. He brings his own cookers and cooks for hours to provide meals, not just for the kids, but for anyone else who is hungry. And one of Tremaine's dreams is to get a playground built at Martin Luther King Jr. Park. So if you ever go to Bones Hook Park, look for the guy cooking and shake his hand. It's little gestures that will make someone's hard work feel noticed and appreciated. Thanks, Tremaine Brown, for all that you do for the others in your neighborhood. That's because he has tapped into that connection that we have with everyone, tapped into his own soul call to make a difference, to contribute to the good in the world, to bring his heart and his love and his soul and his spirit into life. And so as we discover that self, the self with a capital S, as we discover our essential nature and the divine within us through spiritual practice, because that's how we discover it, through meditation and through contemplation, as we identify with that that we discover within us, that which is the ground of all being, we naturally become a beneficial presence in this world. It's the thing that is born out of that realization. And so Deepak Chopra, in his book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Superheroes, says, he speaks of the self, and he says, the self is eternal, pervasive, all-knowing, and beyond space and time. It does not recognize the boundaries between you and me. My triumph is your triumph. Your tragedy is my tragedy. And this extends beyond you and me. All of what is around you, people, nature, the world at large, is part of your community, your tribe, your society, all of humanity, and the collective ecosystem within which we exist. As we come to identify with that within us, everything becomes a part of our community. The whole world becomes a part of our community, a part of our spiritual family, because we are all a part of that one. And so when we touch that self, when we wake up to that self, that essential core nature, then we are automatically motivated by love and by connection and by unity and by oneness, by our spirit is the thing that comes to motivate us. And so Chopra also says in this book, when people are connected with and in touch with their true essence, they not only have the ability to change the world, they have an obligation to. When we wake up, we have to bring the good into the world. We have to share our spirit. We have to bring that love forward because we recognize that's what we're here for. And it almost is painful not to be living in that. And when we step back into that light and act as that conduit, then we feel like we've come home to the whole of humanity and home to our spirit. And so when that happens, what happens is we wake up from that isolated sense of self that we go through the world with. We wake up from that part of us that thinks it's separate and apart and distinct from everything. And that part of us that thinks it's against everything in the world. We then step into the part of us that is one with the whole. We wake up to the fact that we are a part of life and that we are here to serve and that we're here to make the world a better place. We do that moment by moment, day by day, choice by choice, action by action. And so I have another story to share with you. It says, a daughter told her mother that next time she visits, she must take her to see a local daffodil garden. Not really knowing what the fuss was about, her mother reluctantly agreed, and they set off together to see them. The day was overcast and foggy, so the mother was impatient and tempted to turn the car around. But her daughter seemed so excited that she couldn't bring herself to do it. It's all right, Mother. You'll never forgive yourself if you miss this experience, her daughter assured her. After about 20 minutes, they turned down a gravel road and they saw a small church. On the far side of the church, there was a handwritten sign that simply said, Daffodil Garden. They walked down the path and turned a corner to be confronted with the most breathtaking sight imaginable. It looked as though someone had taken a great vat of gold and poured it down over the mountain peaks and slopes. The flowers were planted in majestic, swirling patterns. Great ribbons and swaths of deep orange, white, lemon yellow, salmon pink, saffron, and butter yellow. Each different colored variety was planted as a group so that it swirled and flowed like its own river with its own unique hue. There were 5 acres of flowers. But who has done this? The mother asked. It's just one woman, responded her daughter. She lives on the property, and that's her home. So she pointed to a well-kept A-frame house that looked small and modest in the midst of all this glory. We walked up to the house. On the patio, they saw a poster that said, quote, answers to the questions I know you're asking, was the headline. The first answer was a simple 50,000 bulbs. It read, the second answer was, one at a time, by one woman, 2 hands, 2 feet, and very little brain. The third answer was, began in 1958. Immediately, they understood the daffodil principle. They thought of this woman whom they had never met, who for more than 40 years had begun one bulb at a time to bring her vision of beauty and joy to an obscure mountaintop. Still, just planting one bulb at a time, year after year, she had changed the world in which she lived. She had created something of indescribable magnificence, beauty, and inspiration. So that is what we do, one moment at a time, one day at a time, one act at a time, one word at a time. We start to transform the world by bringing good into it. And so in class this week, we're teaching practical mysticism. One of the exercises that we did was called Releasing the Gifts of Your Soul. Carolyn May says, your soul is a vessel of sacred graces. And so what we did is we chose one quality out of a list. And on that list were things like compassion and harmony, wisdom, love, endurance, humor, patience, healing, vision. We picked one of those qualities every single day and focused on it and took it into our spiritual practice and meditated on it and journaled about it and then took it into the world and lived it that day. Brought that quality with us wherever we went for that day, and then the next day we chose another quality. So what I like to do is that exercise in an abbreviated form with you. And so if you'll take out your insert that's in your bulletin, the white sheet, on the back of it you have a little thing that says notes. And we have some pens. If you would like to have a pen, if you don't already have one, if you'd raise your hand, Barbara will give you a pen. I want you to close your eyes and to choose one of these qualities that you would like to bring into your life and into the world. Harmony, love, or patience. Choose one, harmony, love, or patience. And so holding that thought, that idea, I invite you just to turn within and to allow yourself to sink into that quiet place at the center of your being. That place of stillness, that place where the wisdom of the divine expresses within you at your heart. And holding that quality of harmony, love, or patience in your mind, ask that part of yourself, what is the feeling tone of this quality? What is its feeling tone? And when you come up with that answer, go ahead and write it down. What is its feeling tone? And then close your eyes again. And to ask yourself, what would my experience be if I was completely immersed in this quality and lived from it? What would my experience be if I was completely immersed in that quality and lived from it? And you may open your eyes. And so my invitation to you is to take that quality out into the world today. To take that quality into the world and be it and share it and bring it with you in all of your conversations and in all your meetings, in all that you do. And then each day this week when you wake up, choose a quality that you want to feel and want to experience and think that the world needs. Choose a quality. And then when you sit down to do spiritual practice in the morning, allow yourself to be immersed in that quality and feel it. Allow it to wash over you. You can ask yourself these same questions. What is its essence? What is its feeling tone? And then to go out to set your intention to be that day. And then to go out in the world and bring it with you and be it and share it and shine that particular quality of light in the world. Be a catalyst for the grace of the divine to express through you. That's the call of your soul. And as a result, you will absolutely be making a difference in your own life and in the life of each and every one of those people that you meet. You will be being a catalyst for change. One daffodil at a time. You'll be living the call of your soul. And so blessings to every single one of you on this path of awakening and this path of unfolding and this path of bringing the divine into the world in such a beautiful and a miraculous way. Thank you and blessings to you. You want to pray with me? And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so how good it is to answer this call of that one within us, to turn to it in this prayer, to turn to it in this holy communion, this sacred communion. And so, yes, indeed, I recognize that omnipresence of that infinite one, that, yes, it is right here where we stand, where we sit. That, yes, indeed, we are standing on holy ground right now and at every moment in our lives because we are here as representatives of that infinite one. That we are here bringing it into the world in a way that benefits everyone around us. And so I recognize that we live and move and have our beingness within this one and that it lives and moves and has its beingness through us. Through our words and our actions and our deeds and our consciousness and our thinking. And so today we commit ourselves to being a conduit for this presence, to being a conduit for peace and love and truth and light and wholeness and good. For this is what we are being called to do. And so how good it is to be walking this path of spirit, giving way to this one. And so I know that indeed it goes before us and makes the way plain and smooth, that it is right now that presence of love and peace and good is expressing itself in our homes, and in our hearts and in our relationships, harmonizing everything. That one presence right now is unfolding itself through every single one of our world leaders, through every single one of our politicians, through every decision maker. That wisdom and intelligence and love and good is unfolding now through our political system. And so we just lean into the truth that God is the only activity that is happening right now, unfolding now. And so we revel in this truth, and we rest in this truth. And I say thank you, God, for all of this and so much more. And I pass this prayer.
As we rest in this truth, knowing that all is well in these big, big issues, we can walk in peace in this knowledge. But I also recognize that in our own worlds, the world of our bodies, of our spirit, of our souls, that we turn within and give ourselves the freedom to express the truth, which is our being, which is the love, which is the peace, which is the harmony, which is whatever quality that we choose to use and bring forth into our lives as our expressions this week. I just bless us all in that connection with self, which is, of course, connection with each other, and is, of course, connection with one God, one mind, one creativity. And so I bless us all, knowing that this is taking place. And so it is. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.